Blessed be the one holy and living God. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, in Christ you have revealed your glory among the nations. Preserve the works of your mercy, that your church throughout the world may persevere with steadfast faith in the confession of your name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Genesis. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thank you. A reading from the second letter to Timothy. As for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, and carry out your ministry fully. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus told the disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping him? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. I'm almost certainly going to get this story a little wrong, so bear with me. I don't know the details. I don't remember where I first heard it. Perhaps it happened at a monastery, an ancient place hidden on a craggy mountainside. Or perhaps it was a school of rabbis in a remote desert town. Wherever it was, and whenever it took place, the story goes that some very devout men were gathered at the deathbed of their wisest elder, a teacher and scholar known for his profound mystical insights. So many of his followers had gathered there that they couldn't all fit in his room, but they were spread out into the hallway and the courtyard and the rooms beyond. The most devoted follower, his closest disciple, stood next to his bed, leaning in close in case his teacher should offer any last words of wisdom. Finally, the rabbi or monk or mystic said, "Listen, my child, and remember, life is a river." And that person whispered the message to the next person, and so on down the line of followers. Finally, the very least of the disciples, the last one to receive the message, heard it and paused. Hesitating, he spoke up at last and asked, "But what does that mean? How is life like a river?" After a while, that question was relayed back up the chain of disciples until it got to the one closest to the dying man. And he leaned in again and said, "But honored teacher, how is life a river?" And the wise man slowly opened his eyes and with his last breath he said, "Okay, maybe life isn't a river." Today's gospel passage is about praying always and not giving up hope. And it has spawned an awful lot of commentary, much of it contradictory, about what prayer is and how it works. The primary difficulty with this passage is that we're most likely to see ourselves in the person of the persistent widow, the relatively powerless figure who nonetheless has her petition answered because she simply won't stop beating her fists against the door of the powerful judge. The reason this is problematic is that Jesus makes clear that God is not an unjust judge, but rather that God speedily responds to those who cry out to him day and night. But this insight raises another problem, which is that it clashes with the reality that many of us experience in this life. I will not make you raise your hands, but if I asked how many of you have ever prayed earnestly for something and not had your prayer answered in the way you hoped it would be, I'm guessing I would see a lot of hands. Sometimes preachers use this as a kind of teachable moment, insisting that although it feels like our prayers are not answered, what's actually happening is that the answer is no, that God is denying us what we've prayed for because we're probably praying for the wrong things, and God will not give us anything that is not good for us. I have a hard time with this reasoning. It feels to me like that turns God into a paternalistic Santa Claus figure, as if we're all children praying for candy and kittens and toys, but Santa God has decided to give us an electric toothbrush and warm socks instead. Now, as I get older, I start thinking that an electric toothbrush and warm socks might be a good idea, but that's not the point. The point is that maybe sometimes our prayer life is like that, that we're asking for things that aren't what is best. But that hardly explains the mystery and pain of desperate prayers that go unanswered. All we have to do is bring to mind the countless mothers in different places around the globe who right this very minute are praying for food or medicine or safety for their children and not finding it. And that superficial theodicy turns to dust and ashes. Sometimes, even when we pray for the right thing, the good thing, for health and healing and wholeness, maybe for ourselves and maybe for someone we love, and maybe even for a stranger or an enemy, sometimes we still don't get it. This is a really hard thing to acknowledge from the pulpit. But pretending otherwise doesn't get us very far in our life of faith. So I wonder, is there some better metaphor for prayer that integrates that hard reality of unanswered prayer without simply causing us to give up hope? It might not be that far off to say that prayer is like a river. Think about the advice to pray always, or pray without ceasing. I'm not sure how that's possible to do if we think of prayer primarily as an activity, a mental effort at communication, a ceaseless series of petitions and demands. How exhausting for us and for God. But if prayer is a river, an ongoing stream of communion that originates with God, then to pray always means to give ourselves over into the flow of that river, to let ourselves be receptive. This is the kind of prayer that isn't even about asking for something or being answered, but is about relationship, connection, being put in touch with the source of all that is. It doesn't take effort to experience this kind of prayer in the same way that it doesn't take effort to float in salt water. It takes release, the absence of effort. It also takes patience and trust and practice. I like to think that there might be nearly as many different kinds of prayer as there are people in the world, that we are all meant to find our best way to communicate. So I also want to commend to you the metaphor of prayer as wrestling. This is, of course, beautifully illustrated by the story of Jacob wrestling with an angel or with God, depending on your interpretation of today's passage from Genesis. This is how prayer feels to me when I hit upon a really thorny scripture passage, or when I have an interpersonal situation that is driving me crazy, or when the injustices in the world pile up unbearably and I want God to figure it out for me, to make it make sense, or better yet, just this once to just fix it already. And I don't want to let go until that happens. The story of Jacob wrestling all night and facing the next day with both a new name and a lifelong limp is an encouraging story, and it is so subversive. Did you notice that Jacob prevails in the wrestling match? This story makes me think that God delights in our wrestling, not in that sadistic way of wanting to watch us struggle in vain, but in the way that a good parent can delight in a child finally besting him at chess or getting a better time than she did in a marathon, or even just taking on some challenge that the parent could never imagine. This kind of wrestling is a bit like a baby bird making its way out of a shell. The temptation is to help crack that shell open for the bird because the process looks so hard and scary, but it actually builds up the muscles and the nutrients that the bird needs to come fully to life in the world. If the experience of prayer as a river is primarily about letting go, then the wrestling type of prayer requires us to dig deep and not give up. Surely that is what Jacob and the widow have in common, their persistence. Both exhibit the faithfulness of those who believe God is there with us, engaged in the struggle and the pain, whatever the outcome. However you experience or explain or define prayer, I hope you will agree that the world needs more of it and find ways to explore that everything you do can take on an aspect of prayer, that everything becomes prayer when it is done with faithfulness and a desire to be in the presence of God. Prayer and action were never meant to be seen as opposites. They are complementary. They're necessary parts of a whole, and one can even become the other. Prayer can lead us to action. And then again, our actions can become prayer. Being in nature can be prayer. Protesting against tyranny and fighting injustice can be prayer. Baking cookies for a neighbor can be a prayer. Binding up the wounds of another can be prayer. Wherever and whenever you are your best, most authentic self, reaching out beyond the confines of isolation and competition, you are in prayer, and your prayer is making a difference in the world. May we find the river of prayer to be wide and the current gentle until it carries us all home. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world.
Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. We pray for St. Martin's clergy, staff, and ministry leaders. Lord, in your mercy, guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. We pray for the passage of local, state, and federal laws that will strengthen and protect our communities, treating everyone as children of God. Lord, in your mercy, give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. We pray for reconciliation with the earth and all God's creatures, and we recommit to working for peace with creation. Lord, in your mercy, bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. We are grateful today for those who volunteer in the DCMH meals and for STEAC. We are also thankful for all who bring items to our food collection basket and for those who deliver it weekly to local food pantries. Lord, in your mercy, comfort and heal all who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. Lord, in your mercy, we commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer. Gracious God, grant that your people may have in them the same mind that was in Christ Jesus, and guide us into harmony of relationship through loving kindness and the wise use of all that you have given. For you are drawing all things into communion with you and with each other by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Sorry, we're chatting. It's good to see you all today. Could I welcome up Tim and Jessie Ann? You both have special announcements for us. And Tim, I'm going to let you go first this time. Tim is here on behalf of SJNO, or Social Justice and Outreach. If you remember, we had a ministry minute a few weeks ago talking about Altar Guild, and now we have SJO.
Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Tim Williams. As a member of the Social Justice and Outreach Committee, or SJNO, you got to have an acronym to be relevant. I'm honored to share a summary of the SJNO committee mission and work done on behalf of all of you. Since the inception of St. Martin's, there's always been an emphasis of social justice and outreach. In the early years, the Episcopal Church women ran a thrift store and raised funds for outreach, such as helping build and operate a school in Tanzania. It really became a cornerstone of our church in 1967 when the Reverend Bill Burrell proposed and obtained a parish acceptance of a missionary tithe, which was 10% of the budget. The funds were administered by the missionary committee, which evolved into the outreach committee, which is now the SJNO committee. I recall when I first started coming to St. Martin's that the congregation was adamant that sitting in metal folding chairs with portable kneelers, as they wanted to make sure that there were always funds to meet the 10% missionary tithe. Currently, the SJNO committee is comprised of a group of dedicated parishioners that are committed to following Matthew 25, verses 35 to 36, putting our resources to good use to serve those in need. I bet a majority of you have participated in some way to support our parish SJNO efforts. And I'm going to make you raise your hands this time if you brought food to the church to put in the basket in the narthex, or donated annually to the Thanksgiving Project, or donated to the Christmas and Easter offerings, or donated items to fill a bin with bathroom items for disaster relief. All right, you can put your hands down. Or maybe you're like me and like to be involved with in a hands-on approach. Our committee has completed two Rebuilding Together projects. One was with the DCMH shelter on 8th Street. Other hand-on events included our 2024 Dixon Family Services Fence Project and the 2025 Belfi Replacement Floor Project. What I really like about these projects are not only do they do God's good work, but they help build community outside these church walls. Each year, SJNO selects, with help from vestry and a member of the parish, to financially support our mission partners. These have included DCMH, Stake, Dixon Family Services, Empower YOLO, Safe Parking Program, the UC Davis Pantry, and many others. What drew me to the SJNO committee was that my parents emulated the importance of serving others. So I've always looked for ways to live that by that old adage, it's better to give than to receive. In addition, who would not want to hang out with such cool and kind and great people like Mr. Wonderful Jerry Holbert, the amazing Bob Pokinghorn, the inspiring Diana Glick, the witty Neil Willits, the caring Molly Hills, the Wikipedia of SJNO Lynn Zender, the loving Deb Kimokeo, and the Right Reverend Deacon Margaret Graydon, and the kindest Don Priestler. We meet once a month via Zoom, and I encourage you to take that leap of faith and join our committee to help us expand and strengthen our outreach efforts. Trust me, you'll get more out of it than you give. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim. And now we have Jessie Ann Owens, who is our treasurer. I'll let her tell her story and why she's here, but it's good news.
You never want to follow Tim Williams. I do have good news. We're just through the third quarter of the fiscal year, and it looks very much as though we're going to end with a balanced budget. And exactly. And obviously, it's thanks to the generosity of all of St. Martin's community. In terms of the pledges for next year, we are optimistic that we're going to meet our budgeted goal of $500,000. At this point, we have 66 pledges in, and we're still waiting for a few from maybe a few of the rest of you. Our official end date for the stewardship season is next Sunday, an in-gathering of pledges. The wonderful news is that more than half of the pledges already in are increased over last year. And so I'm particularly grateful, knowing how hard money is these days with inflation, that people have reached deep to increase their pledges. So this is good news. Things are going well, and I'm optimistic that will get your pledges in and able to approve an exciting budget for next year. Hopefully, we'll be able to hire a curate. That is aspirational at this point, but we have to hope, right? So thank you very much for your generosity.
And lots of thanks to Jessie Ann. Serving as treasurer is a hard volunteer task, and she does it really, really well. And we're so lucky for all the people who help out with leadership. Yes, we have a lot on our yellow sheet today. And if you read fine print, you'll notice that we're also suggesting that people go to our website. We're trying to keep that pretty up to date with more information if you need details about something. We also have the weekly e-news, which we send out on Friday morning. And if you're not getting that, please let the office know so that we can be sure to send that to you. In terms of next week and kind of that in-gathering, that culmination of our pledge campaign stewardship season, we're going to have a really good Sunday. We have a special guest preacher, Portia Hopkins from the Belfry. After church, we've got a real celebration. We're going to have a mariachi band, and we have free food. So, what could be better than all of that? And if you want to take part in the Dia de los Muertos part of things, that is what we're really focused on in our celebration next Sunday. That means you bring in a picture or a memorabilia, an item related to someone you love who has died, and you put that on the ofrenda, which will be in the narthex. And we'll leave that up for a week, because the next Sunday we are celebrating All Saints and All Souls Days. And so we also need names. You need to send in names for the necrology, the reading of names. So all that information, the details for all of that, it's in your yellow sheet. Please do take a look. That same Sunday, as if there's not enough going on in the morning, in the afternoon, there's an inaugural community event that is being put on by the YOLO Interfaith Queer Alliance. We're founding members of that, and we're actually having that event here. We haven't put that out in all of the communication because we're trying to just be a little bit careful about people who might want to disrupt such a gathering. But it's here. It's at from 4 to 6 o'clock. It's going to be really fun. This is next Sunday. We're having line dancing and pizza, and you're just going to want to come and be a part of that. The other thing that's happening next weekend, well, you'll see lots of things under community events, but we especially wanted to point out the open house at the Belfry that's happening on Saturday afternoon. Portia asked me if I would be sure to point that out to people. She's really organized that to thank us and the other churches that offer regular support to the Belfry. I think people will want to see in person the results of all the work that Tim and others did to really bring their kitchen and their floor up to a much, much nicer usable level. So you're welcome to that. Lots of things on the other side that I won't get to announce, but you can read it for yourself. Leadership roles that are open. We need singers. There's room for you at the place at the table and a lot more. I know of one celebration and milestone. Did you get any others in between? Okay. Well, we're pleased to announce that the Campbell family had their new baby. So you may be used to seeing Grace up here. Her big brother was born a couple of days ago. His name is Curtis Joshua, and they're calling him CJ. And they plan to be back in church soon. So that's exciting. Are there other celebrations or milestones that people want to share? Yes. Had the birthday what day? Oh, turned 12. Oh, a 12th birthday. Oh, that's so exciting. And my nephew's turning 14 in a couple of days. I can't believe that. Yes. A birthday. Excellent. Any other birthdays or happy events that we want to share in Beck? Oh, today? Friday. Okay, well, happy birthday slightly in advance. Yes?
You lost a tooth this morning. That's a huge... No, seriously. So maybe, does that mean tonight the tooth fairy comes? I think so. Okay, I like this. This is really good. Well, if you turn to page 5, we have our celebrations and milestones for all of these ways that God is showing up in our lives with lost teeth and new babies and birthdays. And we say this prayer together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We have communion around the altar rail, starting in the back and filling in as you come forward. The ushers are up here to help you know when it is time to go to the altar rail. You can, whichever side you're on, you can just fill in, and you can, if you receive the bread and hold on to it, then when the person holding the chalice comes by, they will intinct it for you and hand it back to you. Or you can consume the bread first and then receive the wine from the chalice. Our bread is homemade, it is gluten-free, it is vegan, and everyone is welcome to come to the table. If you need for us to bring communion to you, you can just let one of the ushers know and we'll do that. Or you can also come forward and cross your arms indicating you would like to receive a blessing. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God.
On justice, on truth, on peace, on peace. On justice, on truth, on peace, on peace. On justice, on truth, on peace, on peace. On justice, on truth, on peace, on peace.
On justice, on truth, on peace.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
All thanks and praise are yours at all times and in all places, our true and loving God. Through Jesus Christ, your eternal word, the wisdom from on high by whom you created all things. You laid the foundations of the world and enclosed the sea when it burst out from the womb. You brought forth all creatures from the earth and gave breath to humankind. Wondrous are you, Holy One of blessing. All you create is a sign of hope for our journey. And so, as the morning stars sing your praises, we join the heavenly beings and all creation as we shout with joy. And honor are yours, Creator of all. Your word has never been silent. You called a people to yourself as a light to the nations. You delivered them from bondage and led them to a land of promise. Of your grace, you gave Jesus to be human, to share our life, to proclaim the coming of your holy reign and give himself for us, a fragrant offering. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, you have freed us from sin, brought us into your life, reconciled us to you, and restored us to the glory you intend for us. We thank you that on the night before he died for us, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it, gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body broken for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, Jesus took the cup of wine, said the blessing, gave it to his friends, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This cup is the new covenant of my blood, poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." And so, remembering all that was done for us, the cross, the tomb, the resurrection, and ascension, longing for Christ's coming in glory, and presenting to you these gifts your earth has formed and human hands have made, we acclaim you, O Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Christ Jesus, come in glory. Send your Holy Spirit upon us and upon these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be to us the body and blood of your Christ. Grant that we, burning with your Spirit's power, may be a people of hope, justice, and love. Giver of life, draw us together in the body of Christ, and in the fullness of time, gather us with Blessed Martin and all your people into the joy of our true eternal home. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, we worship you, our God and Creator, in voices of unending praise. Blessed are you, now and forever. Amen. And now first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God.
Oh.
Please rise. Before we begin the post-communion prayer, I forgot to tell everybody, go to our bake-off. We had lots of entrants this morning. We want to see who won and taste their goodies. That's in the parish hall after this service. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us in your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth a people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. The wisdom of God, the love of God, and the grace of God strengthen you to be Christ's hands and heart in the world, and the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today and always.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.